Coming to America is the story of Akeem Jaffer. Akeem, memorably played by Eddie Murphy in this 1980s movie, Akeem is a prince. He's heir to the throne of the fictitious African country of Zamunda. And Akeem has everything that any human being seemingly would need to be happy. He's got wealth, he's got fame, he's got status, prestige, every privilege that anyone would ever want. And yet Akeem is not happy. He is restless. He longs to be in relationship, not with other royals and dignitaries, but with ordinary, average people. He wants to find friendship. He wants to find a mate who's interested not in his status or his money, but in him as a person. So Akeem concocts a bit of a crazy plan. He decides to move to Queens, New York, because according to Akeem, what better place to find a queen than Queens, New York? Taking the form of a lowly foreign exchange student, he strips himself of his status and his wealth. He moves into a slum neighborhood. He takes a job at a fast food restaurant. For Akeem, in order to be with the people of Queens, he needs to be one of them. Well, his parents, as you can imagine, are mortified with Akeem's crazy idea. Why would our son, royalty, heir to the throne, why would he humiliate himself in such a way? Why would he strip aside the wealth and the status? Why would he put himself in a vulnerable, in a risky, in even a move that's reckless? Why would he do this? To them, Akeem's move is scandalous. And as we continue our series called The Scandal of Christmas, we're reminded that while Akeem's story is interesting, even maybe inspiring, there is a far greater scandal that takes place not in Queens, but takes place in a little town called Bethlehem. It is the scandal of a God who forever changes the form of his being and becomes a human being. He moves into the neighborhood, stripping himself of his royalty, as it were, and so longing to be with us that he becomes one of us. Let's take a moment to read that very familiar story of God Emmanuel becoming one of us. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 1. It's also going to be on the screen. God's Word. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. This verse we read this morning in the Advent reading. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Let's pray. Lord, we come to a very familiar passage, and yet we ask you to give us fresh lenses to see the scandal and the mystery of Christmas. Help us to re-experience this story in a new way. And most of all, show us your deep desire to be with us, to be close to us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If you've never read the Christmas story or heard it read before, you are at a distinct advantage. Because many of us here today have read this story dozens, hundreds, maybe even thousands of times we've heard it. And when we read the Christmas story, there's a problem of familiarity. We read these words and we get this kind of dreamy look about us. You guys had that dreamy look as I was reading it to you. In fact, turn to somebody beside you and say, "Wow, you look dreamy." Very tranquil, serene kind of words that fall across us. And that's our kind of mood. In fact, our mood when we read this Christmas story is like many Christmas cards that we might receive or send this year. Like this one, for example. I mean, look at that. Doesn't that look peaceful and tranquil and serene? Mary has just given birth to Jesus, and yet she looks like she just came out of a spa. There's a shepherd playing a recorder, beautiful instruments. Even the cow is smiling, and everything is just in order, and it's just, that's the kind of mood that we get when we read the Christmas story. And yet, here's the irony, friends, is I bet that if I sat down with you and pressed it a little further, in mid-December, we don't feel very serene and tranquil. We don't feel very dreamy. We're a little stressed. We're running around to all kinds of Christmas events, and there's this dinner over here that we're invited to and we want to, but then there's, you know, Coco and caroling at the school that we need to get to. And our family has been running all week to these special Christmas events, all good. But there's kind of an anxiety and a stress. We feel a little frazzled. And maybe most ironic of all, if Christmas is about God Emmanuel drawing near to us, isn't it true that at Christmas we often feel a little distant from God? In all of the activity, it's ironic that God with us, Emmanuel, has come to draw near to us, and at Christmas we feel distant from Emmanuel. Well, this morning, just for a few moments, can we look at this story, maybe with fresh lenses, look at the mystery of it, but the scandal of it. What was really happening here? Why was this shocking? We read the Christmas story. We don't read scandal. But how might have this story landed to the people who first heard it? I think this story is scandalous in at least three ways. First of all, it shows us the scandal of a God who is humble. It's a scandal of humility, of the great transcendent God who becomes little, who becomes humble. Second, it's a scandal of vulnerability, a God who is exposed, a God who gives himself to the world and to us without any guarantees of how we'd respond. And third, it's a scandal of approachability. God comes to us in a way that is approachable, that is different than any way he's related to us before. Humility and vulnerability and approachability. Let's look at each of these in turn. First, the scandal of a humble God. C.S. Lewis said that if you really want to understand the incarnation, the thing theologians talk about, God becoming a human being, think of it this way. Think of being a scientist, a researcher of slugs. And one day after researching them, observing them, studying them, you decide that you need to shrink yourself down and become a slug yourself permanently. And if you recoil at that thought, maybe, just maybe you're on to the scandal of Emmanuel, of a God who becomes a human being. A God who is eternal, who has no limits, shrinks himself down to be a baby with all sorts of limitations. This is not how the King of Kings should enter the world, we might say. This is not how royalty makes an appearance. God forever changes the form of his being to be human so that he can be with us. He becomes one of us. I have a friend who, his name is Chris, and he's the director of ISS of BC, the Immigrant Services Society of BC. And if you've been following the news, you know it's been a huge year for them. They opened a new building, and they welcomed dozens, hundreds of refugees. They were the primary organization that helped Syrians and others get settled into BC. But Chris was telling me of another special visit that they had this year. Anybody know who visited the ISS this year? It was Prince William and Kate, not Prince, not Eddie Murphy, not Prince Akeem, but Prince William and Kate. And Chris was telling me, you would not believe the protocol, the preparations that went into this visit. Yes, it was the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge who came. It was also the Prime Minister and his wife. And I love these pictures because in any picture of Kate and William, they're smiling and there's three very serious people behind them who are not smiling. You would not believe, Chris told me, the entourage that was accompanying, the protection, the safety. This I think it was a two-hour visit, was planned a year in advance. There was multiple visits. Get this, even the British intelligence MI6, like we're talking James Bond kind of stuff, they came months before and scoped out the entire place. This is how royalty travels. This is what is expected when a prince comes for a visit. In fact, if we told Prince William and Kate, we know you're coming to Vancouver, just take a cab and we'll meet you there. Or do what every other Vancouverite does, take the Canada line. That would be scandalous. Right? And yet, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, enters into our world in humility, in the lowest imaginable place, born to two teenagers in a manger in an obscure town called Bethlehem. Why? God so wants to be with us. He doesn't want wealth or power to get in the way of our relationship with him, so he humbles himself and comes at the lowest possible level. God became one of us so that he could be with us. A number of years ago, I was with a small group, and we were imagining, you know, we're in Vancouver. We don't live in any kind of rural society, so the idea of a kind of manger animal shelter is a little distant to us. We got to imagine, what would it look like for Jesus to be born today? What if God had decided that 2016 Vancouver was where he decided to enter the world? What might have that looked like? And we went outside into a back alley, and we gathered around a dumpster. And we thought, if Jesus came today to Vancouver, could it be that he would be born to two teenagers behind a back alley dumpster? And as we stood there on that cold December night in the rain under umbrellas, and we lit candles and we sang Silent Night, we once again grasp the humility of a God who so longs to be with us and close to us that he humbles himself to the lowest possible level. What does God's humility mean for us this Christmas? Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes Christmas for us is anything but humble. It's anything but simple and straightforward and modest. And we can get caught up in the wrappings, in the trimmings, and all of those things, and they cause us great anxiety. The lights on my house don't match, and it causes me anxiety. And yet, when I take a step back and I think about the manger, if God was comfortable in our world coming to a manger and an animal shelter, then maybe he's comfortable with something kind of ordinary, with something simple, with something modest. So this Christmas, when you're tempted to connect with a neighbor, have someone over, but you think, wait, my home is a mess. Think about Mary in the manger. Do you think when the shepherds were coming, Mary said, really, this isn't a good time. The place is a mess. There's straw everywhere. I told Joseph to vacuum, but he didn't do that. When the wise men came, you think Joseph said, there's so much dust. I haven't dusted. Maybe come back another time. No, in simplicity, in humility, God enters into our world. And maybe, just maybe, that's a healthy counterbalance for me to approach this Christmas and go, if God's comfortable with coming in a manger, then he's good with my life, messy and chaotic as it sometimes is. Well, second, the scandal of Christmas is a scandal of vulnerability. Friends, what could be more vulnerable than a baby, a newborn baby, wrapped with its limbs against its body, all bundled up, totally helpless, totally in need of parents who would offer love and food and care and shelter? God comes to us in a very vulnerable way. To be vulnerable means that you're susceptible, you're open, you're exposed. To be vulnerable in a relationship means that you don't keep a safe distance from people where you can't get hurt, but instead you open up your heart and your life in a way to be totally present, to give yourself to another without any guarantees of getting something back. You know, Prince Akeem's parents were so disappointed with Akeem because of this very point, because to move into the slums was to become vulnerable. He could have been hurt. He could have been taken advantage of. Their son was exposed. He was not safe. They urged him to retreat, to back up, to be safe. And yet Akeem knew the only way he was truly going to connect with people was to be vulnerable. True relationship requires vulnerability. I was thinking about this notion of vulnerability this week and thought about the vulnerability of a parent. You know, when you become a parent or there's a child in your life that you care deeply about, someone told me it's kind of like you take a piece of your heart out of you and you put it into the heart of the child. And now a piece of your heart is out there. And so whatever happens to that child, you feel it very personally and very deeply. And I wondered, what must it have been like for God the Father to see his son, this piece of his heart now in the world where it was exposed, where it could be hurt, where it could be rejected, where Jesus, the human being, was susceptible to things like a cold virus or bullying. He was susceptible to being rejected, even killed. What is that like as Jesus, but as God the Father seeing his son in that place? And I thought of vulnerable moments as a parent. I thought of the first day of kindergarten for our kids, where the pictures were taken and everyone was happy and smiles. And then there was the time where the kids go off with their teacher. And it just kind of hit me. Now my kid is out there in the world and I can't be there to protect them. I can't be there to see what happens and to shield them or to solve any problems. It's just, they're out there. And tears started streaming down my face, and my kids were totally fine. They were happy. their friends are like, what's wrong with your dad? Just got something in my eye. Or when they went to camp or they went to Quebec on a student exchange, and now I thought, now they're halfway, they're across the country. How much more vulnerably did God give us Jesus in order to draw near to us, to be close to us? You know, this Christmas, you're probably going to have moments of vulnerability where you feel that. Perhaps you're with family. Perhaps there are strained relationships. Perhaps there's awkwardness. And you may be tempted in that moment to take a step back, to distance yourself, to not really give yourself in those relationships. And I both understand that and I get that. And yet I wonder, friends, if Jesus is coming to us vulnerably, giving all of himself to us, maybe in our moments of vulnerability this Christmas, we just need to lean in. And we need to say, how can I be present? How can I give myself to others that I'm with in a way that doesn't shield me and protect me, but in a way that is truly present and that doesn't expect necessarily anything back, but is just my vulnerable self. The scandal of Christmas is of a humble God and a vulnerable God. And third and finally, it's the scandal of an approachable God. Christmas shows us that God wants to relate to us in a different way than he ever has related with people before. Think for a moment about some stories from the Old Testament. In fact, if you were here this summer, maybe you remember this story about Moses. Moses, regarded as a very holy man, one day is doing something pretty ordinary. He's tending his sheep and he sees a bush that is on fire, and it's a hook, and he's drawn. And he comes close to check it out. Why is this bush just perpetually burning? And do you remember what God says to Moses? He says, stop. Don't come any closer. The ground you're standing on is holy ground. Don't come any closer. To come any closer to a holy God would be fatal. In relationships with God in the Old Testament, the primary emotion was fear. You came before a holy God terrified. You kept your distance to keep your distance with powerful people, with a powerful God, makes sense to us. Which is why recently when somebody decided that they just wanted to get close to President Obama, so they jumped the fence at the White House and made a run for the president's residence. And you know what happens. Dogs come out, security dogs, guards come out. The man is arrested at gunpoint. Why? You just don't get too close to those who are powerful. And yet, friends, here's the zinger at Christmas, is that the all-powerful, almighty God, the holy God, decides, I want to eliminate the distance. I want us to be close. And so I will take the initiative, God says, and come down and approach you. So that there is no fear as the primary emotion when you come to me. What could be less scary than a little baby? Here is the approachability of God at Christmas. You know, in the Old Testament, God was always the above us God. And at Christmas, the above us God, says Dale Bruner, becomes the with us God. The above us, the holy, the almighty, the above us God becomes the with us God. This week I was reading about a concept in Islam that our Muslim friends would tell us about. Allah is great. He is above us. And Allah would never come down and touch the ground here. In fact, they have a word for it. It's called a shirk. Shirk means association, and it reminds us that Allah is too holy to associate with unholy people. And commentator Dale Bruner puts it this way. He says, at Christmas, we're reminded that Christmas is the story of God's self-shirking, of God coming down and being with us, broken, sinful people. It's scandalous to so many, and yet to us at Christmas, we say, wow, God, thank you for approaching us in your holiness, in your majesty, in your transcendence. You have come down. Friends, did you realize that we get to experience something that Moses never did? We get to experience the personal presence of God, not just the general presence. Think of it this way. When I go to a hockey game at Rogers Arena, sometimes I'm given tickets. The tickets are usually way up in the nosebleeds. And that's the view from the nosebleeds. You see little guys about this sort of skating around out there. It's kind of cool. I guess you could say that I'm in the presence of the Vancouver Canucks when I'm there. It's kind of a distant presence. I could go down before the game starts or after, and I could see Daniel or Henrik Sedin skating around on the ice, but again, there'd be a thick pane of glass separating us. It's a general kind of presence, but true story, that all changes when I go to Oak Ridge Mall and decide I want to get a coffee at Starbucks, and I'm in line, and who else is in line? One of the Sedin twins. A Sedin became one of us. Ordinary, dressed in street clothes. And now I'm in the personal presence. Not the general, but the personal presence. And I decide, I take a step forward and I decide, this is my moment. I'm about to go. And then I can't figure out if it's Daniel or it's Henrik. And I'm caught in that moment. What do I do? Do I walk up and say, hey, it's really you. It's so good to see you, Mr. Sedin. I couldn't imagine any kind of way to greet them that didn't seem really stupid. So I just stayed in line. But what would have happened if Daniel or Henrik, whichever it was that day, came and said, hey, Jade, why don't you, after you grab your coffee, I got a table over here. Why don't you sit down? No more general presence from the nosebleeds. Now it's a personal, face-to-face presence. In the sense, in the past, we were in the nosebleeds, but friends, Christmas reminds us that we, by God's Spirit, get to encounter Jesus, the presence of God face to face. What do we do with all this? Well, you'll be happy to know that I'm not going to give you 12 things to do this Christmas based on this message, because I know you're not going to do them, because we're all overwhelmed. And I thought, what do we do with this? That God is humble and he's vulnerable and he's approachable. And then I just went back to the manger. And I thought, what do you do when you see a newborn child? You just approach and you go, wow. And you marvel at the mystery of this gift. You just stand there and you go, wow. How special is this? How magnificent is this? Congratulations. And maybe if you're not too squeamish, you even get to hold this newborn child. Friends, could it be that in light of this scandal of God becoming Emmanuel and drawing near to us, that all we're invited to do is to go back to the manger, to be like the shepherds who just got up and went and came in and just said, wow, God, God has become one of us. God has drawn near to us. Thank you. Maybe like the wise men, we come and we worship the newborn king. In the mystery of God becoming flesh, Emmanuel, we sing in our hearts, oh, come, let us adore him. This Christmas, in those moments of anxiety, in those moments of vulnerability, may you be brought back to the manger and the beauty of this child, God himself, Emmanuel, who just wants to be close to you. Let's pray together. Friends, I wonder just for a moment if imaginatively you can go back to Bethlehem. If you can put yourself in the Christmas story. Like one of the shepherds who just got up from where they were and walked over and just marveled at this gift of God. Can you just take a moment to do that? To say, thank you, God. I hear and I see your desire to be close to me, and I want to be close to you. Take a moment to just talk to the Lord. God, Emmanuel, thank you. Thank you for drawing near to us. Help us to draw near to you.